Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Justin Rowe, joined by my co-host Michael Spath, and Brandon Brown from Wolverine Digest has joined us today as well. It is March 15th, Monday, March 15th, after a beautiful Selection Sunday. I don't know about you guys, but whether Michigan's playing well or not, it just felt really good to have Selection Sunday, and now we have a real bracket to look at. It's fantastic. How are you guys doing?
I'm great. I mean, you know what? It's interesting. I was talking about this with a couple of friends of mine, just to be able to have March Madness, the possibility, right? I mean, who knows? I would totally expect, I think, you know, you and Brandon would agree that we'll probably have a game, maybe two, maybe 10, that are canceled because of COVID over the next couple of weeks. And you just got to kind of expect that a little bit and know that's going to happen. If it happens to your team, I mean, that sucks. But it is what it is at this point in our pandemic. But just to be able to watch all the tournaments over the weekend, the SEC tournament, Alabama winning it, and the ACC tournament, the Big Ten tournament, which was turned out to be a great game between Illinois and Ohio State going in overtime. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to watch that much college basketball, to immerse yourself in it and know that the big dance is coming. I'm really excited. I still don't understand this whole Friday through Monday and not Thursday through Sunday thing. And no one's given me a great explanation for it yet. But come Friday and really come Thursday night when the first four play, March Madness is back.
Absolutely. It is back. It was, you know what? We got a little taste of March with the conference tournaments over this past week, and I was loving every minute of it. Obviously I wish that Michigan played better and was, you know, in the Big Ten championship. But I think that it was just awesome to watch great basketball. There's something about being in Indy and watching these guys in an arena. And I, you know what else too, that really made me feel that it was real, was there were more fans. And I thought, you know, I was watching Illinois, Ohio State yesterday too. And it was like that Illinois was feeding off of their fans, which it just felt kind of weird because we haven't seen that in a long time with fans actually, you know, energizing their team. So that was really cool to see, even if it wasn't for, you know, Michigan, obviously. But I'm excited to watch this weekend, you know, with more fans, hopefully in attendance at in Indianapolis. And so, you know, let's start off with going back to the Big Ten tournament. It was obviously a bummer. We got the news of Isaiah Livers with a broken foot, stress fracture in his foot early Saturday morning before their game against Ohio State. What do you guys think this really means for Michigan? Is this an absolute deal breaker, or is this team, are they going to be okay without it?
Go
ahead, Brandon.
I'll jump in. I was going to say, I think it's I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker. I mean, you take the best player, arguably the best player off any team in college basketball, and it's going to be something you got to work through. But we all saw firsthand Illinois handled it pretty damn well when they came to Ann Arbor and boat raced Michigan without Io DeSunmu. Like, I talked about this before. Teams can use that as motivation. You can say, okay, these guys need to step up. I need to do a little bit more. I need to play a little bit better. And I think, you know, it can do that. Certainly taking the scoring off of the scoreboard, and you don't know if you're just going to automatically replace 20 points that Isaiah Livers brings you and the shooting that he can bring. And then the way that it affects the rest of the rotation as well. I mean, sure, it's a big blow, but I don't think it's a deal breaker. But I think you have to look at it this way. Michigan's good enough to probably get through the first weekend without him. And then if you make it to the Sweet 16, they're all really good teams. And like on any given night, you can win or lose that game with Isaiah Livers. So I really don't know. I don't think you can say like it absolutely ruins everything Michigan was going to accomplish with him. And who the hell knows? Maybe there's a chance he can get back out there if they make it through the first weekend. I don't think so. I know Isaiah Livers said, you know, don't write me off yet. I'm going to work really hard to get back out there. But to my brain and what I know of injuries, again, you know, we just kind of learned about this, and we're still learning a little bit about when it may have originally happened and how long he was dealing with it. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, if you know better. I don't think a stress fracture is something that you really want to mess with. It's not like just dealing with the pain and hoping you can play through it. Like if you're on it, it gets worse. And so that's kind of a bad thing. You know, when you sprain something, or you roll an ankle, or you tweak a knee, those kinds of things, sometimes it's just pain management, but I don't think that's the case with a stress fracture. So probably without him, they could probably be okay if they can get it together. Mike, I know you've sent several tweets out there about what you think they can be if it clicks for them for a run of 4 to 6 games. And, you know, we'll see. That's what makes it so exciting right now, because they still have a pretty darn without him.
Yeah, and to Brandon's point, I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor. Justin, you pretend sometimes, but you're not a doctor. And so to any of us to speak on it, you know, and say, well, he can come back in this time period or not. I mean, I've read, like everybody else has read, that, you know, this 4 to 6 weeks, mm-hmm. You know, although we thought Eli Brooks was going to be out for a while, and he played in the first game of the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, they've got this hyperbaric chamber you can put athletes in nowadays. There's all these different methods for increasing circulation and trying to heal guys up faster than possible. But, you know, how many injuries are there out there where you can play on it and not impact you? And even if he was able to give it a go the second weekend, you know, where's he at mentally? You know, I think that'd be a challenge as part of it that we're not talking about. But I mean, obviously it's disappointing. If you're a Michigan fan, you know, here's what I was talking with my brother about. And I agree. I mean, when these seasons come along, and by all indications, this was a special season. Michigan scuffled a little bit at the end, the loss to Illinois, and Isaiah Livers admitting that they weren't, that they were complacent when they played Michigan State in the final regular season game after winning the Big Ten title. You know, all that was going on. You know, it wasn't their best at the end. But with Isaiah Livers, if they recapture that magic, like, they're a team that can win a national championship. And when you look at, you know, other teams in your hometown or the teams that you root for, I think about the Detroit Tigers. They went to 2 World Series, 2006 and 2012. They lost them both. And now here they are irrelevant again. Like, you've got to seize the moment, because it doesn't happen that often. And in college basketball, now we're excited about the future. Juwan Howard's got the number one class in the country, but Duke is still out there, and Kansas is still out there, and Kentucky is still out there, and North Carolina and Michigan State, and on and on and on. There's a lot of competition to win it all. And this team looked like they were capable of doing that. Are they still capable of it? Probably not. But to what Brandon was saying, I look at it this, look, they're still a one seed. They're still going to beat the doors off of the 16 seed in their matchup on Saturday. They're still going to play an 8-9 matchup. And I know that LSU and St. Bonaventure, everybody's like, oh, these are two really good 8-9 teams. If Michigan goes out there and plays its brand of basketball, even without Isaiah Livers, they get past, you know, the Bonnies or the Tigers, and then they get into the Sweet 16. And as Brandon mentioned, I mean, when you get to the Sweet 16, a team has just won two games. A team is also playing some of its best basketball, and all, you know, all bets are off. Anything can happen. So for me, with my expectations, it's already been a great year, but get to the Sweet 16. I don't want to say everything after that is a cherry on top, guys, because I really do think that this team, even without Isaiah Livers, could get to the Elite Eight. But after that, I mean, if Alabama is in the Elite Eight, the way that they're playing right now, or Texas, which won the Big 12 championship, or, you know, or they get to the final, I mean, it gets harder and harder to keep going without one of your best players. And Isaiah Livers, without a doubt, was one of their best players.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I mean, the one thing that gets to me too is that I know everyone's thinking about the season, but man, I feel for Isaiah Livers, don't you guys? I mean, the guy has been so dedicated to Michigan, came back for his senior year after an injury riddled season last year, had a, you know, as you said, Mike, a very special year this year, was gearing up for what could have been or still could be, but you know, what could have been a magical run for him to close out his career here at Michigan. And then this happened. So I really feel for him. I think that, you know, I read a couple things and heard some things from Isaiah that he is, you know, he's been really like leaning on Juwan Howard, and they've been, you know, tight as, you know, they're brothers. They really are. It's kind of wild because of the age gap, obviously, but I just feel like they're that tight. And Juwan Howard has been really special for Isaiah in this, you know, because I'm sure it's been a really tough 48 or so hours for Isaiah. It's been, I'm sure, very, very difficult. But, you know, going back to Saturday when we watched Michigan play, I thought that they were not the same team, unfortunately, without Isaiah Livers. You really miss the offense that Isaiah brings to the table. But there are a couple things. I thought that they got it together a little bit towards the end. I mean, the thing is that if Ohio State doesn't shoot 60% from three, Michigan wins that game. Right. Ohio State then came out yesterday and shot 1 for 10 in the first half. So it's just like, wow, how does that happen? But I thought, you know, if there are a couple people that can step up into huge roles for Michigan, and it could be a Mitch McGarry type of situation where he has an unbelievable tournament in 2013. If Hunter Dickinson can do something like that and pick up where he was, you know, earlier this year, and then you throw in Brandon Johns and maybe Terrence Williams into the mix as well. I thought Brandon Johns has been playing really well lately. I think he's really taken over the five spot and kind of the four spot from Austin Davis. So I don't know. There's opportunities out there. It's not like you said, Brandon, Michigan's not down and out. It's not just like complete deal breaker, but I think that it's going to be more, it definitely is going to be more difficult, but I think there are opportunities for some guys to actually, you know, see some time that they have it. And if they can do that, then it'll be, it could be another magical run for Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's the fairest way to look at it. I mean, I think you have to. Yeah, Michigan's not down and out. They still have a lot of talent. They still have, you know, really good players at several other positions. You know, Franz Wagner can continue to be aggressive. He's been shooting the ball better from outside. He gets going downhill. He's about as unstoppable as anybody in college basketball. Hunter Dickinson can stack two halves together. I feel like he's been a lot of this. Slow first half, strong finish in the second half over the last handful of games. If he can stack a couple good halves together, same with Mike Smith, you know, a better complete game after an incredible performance against Maryland. They've got plenty of capable dudes. Shawnee Brown coming in, playing more minutes. Obviously, you mentioned Brandon Johns. Even Austin Davis, who is an automatic bucket if he gets both feet in the paint. He's given good minutes and, you know, playing hard. Good leadership from him, still bringing Hunter Dickinson along. There's a lot of pieces there that – you can work with even without Isaiah Livers. It does suck for him on a personal level. I can't imagine that, all the craziness with COVID, you know, missing out on both tournaments last year and then getting right on the doorstep of it this year and having an injury like that. Like, man, I can't say enough about how much that must suck for him. And then he goes out and speaks to the media twice after that. Like, just you can't help but pull for that kid and love what that kid stands for and how he's conducted himself. So really, really sucks for him. You just wish he could get back out there. But again, to Mike's point, even if he does manage to get to a point where he's playing, is he at 60%, 80%? I mean, I personally don't think we're going to see him back. I just don't think that's the kind of injury you should play on as he's getting ready for the next chapter of his career. But we will see. We'll see how that plays out. But Michigan's still with plenty of able guys to make a little bit of a run here if it can click just right. And that's really what all teams are hoping for and what the winner usually has. Everything just kind of clicks at the right. Everything fires on all cylinders, all the cliches, but that's what you need to win a title.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you
go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, Mike, you know, what do you see in Isaiah Livers' role now? Is he an assistant coach? Is he the morale guy? Is he the energy guy? You know, how is he going to step up in a situation where he's not, you know, he's not used to it. Obviously he's used to being on the floor and directing traffic, but as a senior leader, how do you see him, you know, taking on a new role here to help his team out in the, down the stretch here?
I'll be honest. I don't think he has that big of a role going forward. Guys will talk all the time about, you know, the ability to, you know, to coach from the sidelines, to help out in, you know, in some type of manner. But Justin, I mean, when you're sitting over there, you can hoot and holler and you can jump up and down, and he's a different type of player than Jace Howard or Zeb Jackson or Adrian Nunez, right? Like, he's obviously a much different type of player. But let me ask you, what type of impact did those guys have on the team in any given day? Like, they're cheerleaders, you know, they're over there, they're doing funny things, and it's fun, and you like to watch, and they're clever, and you get a laugh out of it, but they're cheerleaders. You know, do they create energy for what's going on in the court? It's really hard to do that unless you're on the court itself to create energy. I mean, how many times, you know, a coach is like, you know, hooting and hollering, like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And maybe that sinks in a little bit, but really it's just about what you do between the stripes. And so I think Isaiah Livers, he's going to be the best cheerleader that he can possibly be. But in terms of any type of role beyond that, I don't think there's really much for him. And I think, you know, going back to the Big Ten tournament semifinal and the loss to Ohio State, a 1-point loss to Ohio State, what stands out to me is in this game, like, you needed a couple of players, right? I mean, Juwan Howard said it when he was talking about replacing Isaiah Livers. This is an old cliched thing. You don't replace him with one guy. Like, it wasn't on Brandon Johns alone to replace Isaiah Livers' production. You replace it from everybody doing a little bit more. And what they needed was, they needed Mike Smith, they needed Shaunday Brown, they needed Brandon Johns, they needed Franz Wagner. Those four guys all had to play a little bit of a better game than they did the night before. And unfortunately, with the exception of Shaunday Brown hitting a three-pointer towards the end to draw Michigan within one, you know, Franz didn't play a very good game, had two early three-pointers, and then disappeared for the most part, fouled out. Mike Smith shot, what, 1 of 11 overall and got that last shot, which, you know, Juwan can say whatever he wants, but that was not a good look. That was not the shot that anybody really would have wanted, especially down one. I was watching a game yesterday. I think it was the Ohio State Illinois game, and they were down by, you know, similarly, and they drove the hoop immediately. They drove the hoop immediately. Like, that's what you do, because you want to give yourself some more time. And then Shaunday Brown had a really bad game. And so you need those guys to step up. And as long as, you know, one, two of them step up in the first two rounds, Michigan moves on. And then anything after that is fair game here. But let me ask you this, Justin, when you look at, you know, this Michigan basketball team going forward here. And so, you know, coming back to the question of the ceiling. So if Brandon Johns can step in and he can be, you know, he had, 7 points on free throws in that game in the semifinals. He's a guy that has shown he's an ability to shoot from outside. He can hit a three. He's got a little bit of a low post game. You know, from what you saw on Saturday, last Saturday, anything that you think Juwan Howard's working on right now to retweak this lineup? Like, what does he do to compensate for Livers being out? Does Shaunday get the start? Does Brandon Johns stay in that role? Like, what is he working on right now to get his team prepared to be at their best for the first round and second round of the games?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination, right? You're not going to fill in. Brandon Johns isn't going to come in and get 35 minutes. Right. So you have 35 minutes, essentially, which is what Livers usually played, you know, 30 to 35 minutes. You have to fill that in. And so it's not going to be one guy, I imagine, but I think it's probably going to be a few of those guys. He's going to put it together, piece it together with Brandon Johns, Shaunday Brown, and Terrence Williams. And one thing I will say is that Terrence Williams had a really good game. I thought he came in and played really well, which I was surprised at, because that was one guy who hadn't looked like he belonged on the court quite yet in his career throughout the year. And then on Saturday, he played pretty well. So I think you're getting him ready. I think you have to use your lineup. You know, you have to use it as well as possible for different situations. So in the NCAA tournament, that's where it's difficult, right? It's one of these things where you go against different teams every 2 days. And so it's teams that you haven't seen before. So it's going to be very situational. If they have a big, then Hunter's going to play a lot more minutes. But I think that one big thing is that you have to coach Brandon Johns up right now into being able to play defense against either a four or a five. He needs to be able to cover somebody, because that's where we've ran into issues, is when Hunter Dickinson comes in and gets two fouls quickly, that's when we run into issues, because Austin Davis is not a good defender. So you need Brandon Johns to be able to come in and play great defense against a good big guy, which a lot of teams have in the NCAA tournament. But I think from, you know, what defense is obviously, you know, it's a big deal, but I think where the issue lies mainly is on offense. This team hasn't gotten it going on offense since, I don't know, January, it feels like. So it's been, I think you need Brandon Johns to be able to go inside and out, have him be aggressive, but not out of control. And then he's got to be able to hit threes in the corner. Same with Shaundi Brown. You know what I want to see out of Shaundi Brown is on the offensive side, get to the glass some more. He's a good free throw shooter. He really doesn't get to the rack a lot. He needs to be able to drive and get to the rim. Same with Mike Smith. I think Mike Smith, I know he went 1-for-11, but I still want him to run the pick and roll. I want him to you know, go one-on-one sometimes, have Columbia Mike come out. So that's where I see it. I don't know. Was there anything that you wanted to add there? What you think Juwan Howard should do with this lineup?
No, I mean, I think that's all really good stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I go back to this, and people have listened to this podcast or they know me. They know that I often quote Red Berenson, who I covered the Michigan hockey team for 10 or 12 years. I used to get a lot of what I would call red isms. And Red would simply say, you know, if we go out there and play our best, we're going to win the game, because you know, he understood from recruiting, he understood who he was matched up against, that we had more talent than they did. Mm-hmm. And he was confident that he had done the right coaching to get his team prepared for those matchups. And so I look at it with Michigan with that, and what you can't have happen is you can't have, you know, three out of your four best players all have an off night. You can't have the foul trouble. You can't have them shoot as poor from 3-point land as they did. I mean, I just looked at it, and four of their last six games, they shot below 31% from three.
Yikes.
You know what? That's just not going to get it done. Now, they actually won one of those games. They beat Indiana despite shooting poorly from three. But you're not going to win a lot of games when you shoot poorly from 3-point land, because today's game is so dependent upon the three.
Yeah. And Mike, too, I just wanted to comment on you having, when you said like your top four guys all play poorly, that was what Michigan did really well early on. Franz or Livers or Hunter would have a bad game and somebody would step up. So that's where it seems to have been different in the past, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, where guys didn't step up when those other guys had bad games.
Yeah, and right. And so guys have got to step up. I mean, Justin, I thought you said it perfectly in a text message exchange between me and Brandon yesterday, because Brandon was talking about how tough of the region was compared to Illinois' region. And I won't steal your thunder here, but I mean, you said this, so go ahead and share with the audience your comment, because this is exactly what NCAA tournament's all about. And this is exactly what Michigan faces.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the matchups and who's got a bad region or the toughest region. And, you know, we're commenting on Michigan's draw. And I said, you know, in the tournament, all these teams are good. They're in the tournament for a reason, right? They played well throughout the year and they earned a spot into the tournament. So you can't come out here and complain about a bad draw or something, because all these teams, you're going to have to play good teams in the tournament, right? So I don't like people that are like, oh, Michigan got a tough draw, or like, even, you know, Michigan State fans too. You know, I do laugh a little bit that they're in the play-in game, but I just think that you have to come out and play good basketball when it comes to March. If you're, there's no way to get to the Final Four with playing cupcake teams, right? So they're going to have probably an easy first round matchup, but they're going to have a tough matchup right away in that 8-9 game, whether it's St. Bonnie's or LSU. And guess what? Those two teams are probably going to come, whoever it is, going to come playing good basketball. So, hey, Mike, you're going to need to play good basketball to win. That is the bottom line. It's no secret, right?
And the other thing you said in one of our text exchanges yesterday, Justin, which I thought was really appropriate, was like, you know, yes, maybe it looks like the toughest draw out of the four regions, but that's what they were saying about Michigan's draw in 2018. And then there were a lot of upsets. The next thing you know, everybody was talking about how was the easiest draw to get to the Final Four and how they didn't really even get the championship game. I think they played an 8-9 matchup against Loyola Chicago in the Final Four. And so you don't know how it's going to go. I mean, what happens if Texas, the 3 seed, gets knocked off by Abilene Christian in round one, and then Alabama somehow loses in the Sweet 16, you know, and they're out of it. And then you've got, you know, Florida State as the four matchup, you know, somehow. Like, it's certainly possible that Michigan wins its first two games and then is playing a double digit seed in the Sweet 16. So, you know, look, I'm excited. I think at the end of the day, you just kind of have to say like, okay, whatever happens going forward here, I'm going to try to enjoy to the best of my ability. Can they still win a national championship? Ultimately, it comes down to this. Can they win a national championship without Livers? Probably not. But if they get to the championship game without Livers, anything is possible, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what should your expectations be as a fan? I look at it like this. When you're a higher seed team, when you are a 1, 2, 3, or 4, your first two games are designed to be better matchups. And so if you're one of those seeds, then your entire thing is like, you should be getting the Sweet 16. If you're Duke, which didn't make it this year, haha, Krzyzewski, if you're Michigan State, if you're Kentucky, you're Kansas, North Carolina, Michigan, UCLA, if you're one of those teams and you're consistently one of the best teams in college basketball, your expectation every single year is get to the Sweet 16. And then after that, let's just see what happens. But if you don't get to the Sweet 16 after winning the Big Ten championship, I understand that Michigan fans would be disappointed and probably rightfully so. But that's where I'm at. Justin, let me ask you this question. Watching the Big Ten championship, Illinois, Ohio State, I have a hard time saying that anybody other than Illinois is the best team in college basketball right now, and proved it over the course of the season. And it hurts. And I know every Michigan fan, it's obnoxious because Brad Underwood, the mouthing off about Michigan's Big Ten title and kind of questioning the legitimacy of it. You know, I know the AD a couple of days after the regular season was arguing that they should, you know, that the Big Ten should amend it and they should give them a co-Big Ten championship.
That was ridiculous, by the way.
That was ridiculous because, again, it's like, hey, let's bend all the rules after we've all agreed to this. But I mean, don't you look at it right now, Justin, and say like they are the best team in college basketball and they've got some bragging rights. They just won the Big Ten tournament. They've got some bragging rights. And I mean, I don't know about you, but that's who I picked to win it all.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching them over the weekend and it's tough to say this because of all the crap that's gone on between Michigan and Illinois this year, but they are playing unbelievable. DeSumo is really good, and Curbelo, the freshman, has stepped up and given them a huge boost. Frazier has been really good too. Kofi Coburn is just like a mammoth of a man, and he is just like a specimen, physical specimen. So I see them going to the Final Four, probably a national title, honestly, the national title game. I just don't know who is going to match up well with them when you have to have a giant big man to guard Kofi, and then you have to have two really good guards to guard DeSumo, and then the Curbelo and Frazier, you know, mixture. And then they also have their backup center is pretty dang good as well. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not even going to try to.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. They are playing incredibly well. I have to imagine they're going to be the pick for a lot of people to win it all. So they've also got Houston as their number two seed, which I think is probably the lowest number two seed out there. So yeah, I just, you know, looking at the Big Ten, it's pretty incredible that the Big Ten has two number one seeds, two number two seeds, and then let's see, they've got four, I believe. You know, but two number ones and two number twos as the top four team, teams in the Big Ten, that's pretty dang good. I would love to know how many times that has happened, but it shows you how great the Big Ten was this year and how deep it was. So, I don't know. Are there any other teams in the Big Ten that you could see making a run?
Well, I think Ohio State, the way that they kind of broke out of their funk, they got to the championship game. They beat Minnesota. They beat Michigan. They beat Purdue. They beat Michigan. I might not have all those right. But you know, they had a really good stretch here in the Big Ten tournament. Dwayne Washington Jr. and EJ Liddell are both playing really good basketball again. The perfect time. Sui looked really good in the game against Illinois on Sunday. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State made a little bit of a run. In fact, I have Ohio State going to the Elite Eight in my bracket. I also have Iowa in the Elite Eight. I also have Illinois in the Elite Eight. And I have Michigan in the Elite Eight. So how crazy would that be if four out of the final eight teams were from the Big Ten? But I really, really think it's possible. I think out of those four teams, I think the one that has the least likely chance is Michigan, just because they're not at 100% and they've got to get through, you know, probably either Florida State or Colorado in the Sweet 16. But, you know, I already said I'm going with Illinois. When I picked my final four teams, this was a challenge for me. This really was, because it's like, okay, do you just go with your homer pick? Do you pick Michigan to get there? Or do you go with someone else? I end up going with someone else. I had Michigan getting the Elite Eight. You know, I look at Alabama and Texas as two teams playing pretty well. Alabama, like, I wanted to go with them, but honestly, if someone's going to deride this big time, and I get it, because you look at the KenPom, and I think Texas is like 26th. But I have Texas in the Final Four. I have Iowa in the Final Four, Illinois, and Baylor. So it's essentially a Big 12, Big 10 Final Four, and who comes out of it. And as I said, I have Illinois winning the whole thing. And it'd be, you know what, even though I don't want that, I want Michigan. I do want a Big Ten team to win it all, because the stretch now is since 2000, I believe, 2001, when Michigan State won it. And the Big Ten has been, you know, for a 10-year period there, they were getting their butts handed to them in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They weren't really a great conference. The last 5 to 7 years, the Big Ten has been consistently top two, top three in the last couple of years, the top conference in college basketball, and really has nothing to show for it. And I need them to, we need to see them end that streak, win the national championship. And frankly, you know, I looked this up with my father-in-law last week. I think there was a stretch in the late 70s through when Michigan won the national championship in 1989. Where it was like in 12 straight years, out of the 12 years, I think the Big Ten won it like six times. And I want to see that type of dominance again. You know, it's hard to do, but I would love to see the Big Ten in the next, you know, in this decade here, the 2020s, win like three or four national championships, including Michigan, at least one of them.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's pretty incredible. I think that, you know, when I'm looking at this, the bracket, I still think Baylor is pretty damn good, Mike. I mean, they've had a couple losses in the past few days. Obviously, they didn't win the Big 12 tournament, but my gosh, they're still a really good basketball team. And, you know, Gonzaga too, they are that classic team that just never does well in the tournament, right? But damn, if you look at have you watched any of Gonzaga's games? I know you go to bed at like 8:30, so they're usually
not very many.
They're usually on at late at night on the West Coast, but they are very good as well. They shoot unbelievably, so you know, I could see them making a pretty good run as well. I don't see, you know, I don't think Virginia's that good in their bracket. Creighton's not that good. I don't know. I could see them getting to the Elite Eight and then probably seeing Iowa or Kansas. But I don't even – like, Kansas isn't even as good as they normally are either. So, I don't know. Gonzaga's got a pretty good draw here. I don't know. Going back to Michigan, if they can make a – like, what your expectations should be, I don't know. It's really difficult because if you would have asked me this and at the end of January, I would have said this team has everything it takes. So they play what really well together. They've got all the tools. You know, we talked about their versatility and the depth of this roster and lineup. But now it just doesn't seem like everything's clicking. So I don't know. I agree with you. Probably Elite Eight might be their ceiling, unfortunately. I think Alabama, I watched Alabama yesterday. They're a damn good team too. So hey, guess what? I this is kind of crazy, but there are a lot of good basketball teams in the tournament this year.
Yeah, there always are. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Justin, it's going to be fun. Everything I've taken away from college basketball, coaches, players, fans, media last year, you know, it's a little bit like, that was a deep sigh there. It's a little bit like college football where you kind of just try to enjoy it and for what it is. And maybe this is the year where you don't go crazy with expectations because you know how fickle, you know, or that's not feeble. No, that's not the right word either. How lucky we are to have March Madness this year. And so I'm just going to take advantage of it and enjoy it as much as I can, watch as many games as I can. Mm-hmm. I really wish it was the Thursday, Friday, because it's hard. As I said last week on the podcast, it's one thing when your employer kind of has an expectation you're going to take like some of Thursday off and mm-hmm. Friday off too, but how do you turn around and then only take Monday afternoon off? It's not a good look. Yeah, when you're, especially for me, I'm 6 months into this job with Kaepernick Insurance Group. Not a good look for me to take that time off. You know, I'd much rather be at one of our sponsors, like Wolverine State Brewing Company, watching the games, or inside the Habitat Lounge for Weber's Hotel and Restaurant. Much rather be there, but instead, I'll be watching the game. And the thing that stinks about it too is that Michigan will play on Monday, right? If they win their game on Saturday, they play on Monday. So, like, what time are they playing? I'm already thinking like, I got to clear my schedule a little bit here, right? I gotta make sure that this is not, there's nothing on my calendar for the afternoon. But yeah, Justin, it's going to be fun. I'm just ready to enjoy it, revel in it, soak it all up. And hopefully my team is playing next weekend, a week from now, so that we can have that. I know about you, but like for me, like if you get that second weekend, think about how nice it is that you just get to like have that euphoria last for another week. You can say like, I'm there. Like you just get to, even if your team loses in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16, like you just get to enjoy it a little bit longer. And that's what I love about college basketball and March Madness.
Yeah, 100%, Mike. It's going to be a fun weekend. I mean, this is up there, I think, for a lot of sports fans out there as one of the best weekends of the year. So I agree with you. I wish it was starting a little bit earlier. Usually we would have some games on Tuesday, Wednesday. But the first game, I'm looking at the schedules right now. We'll start off on Thursday night around 5:00 with some of these first four games, which you're not going to believe it, but it includes Michigan State. So Michigan State, UCLA at 9:57 on Thursday night, which I know is way past your bedtime. So I'll try to keep you updated there. Then we've got, you know, on Friday, games start at 12:15 with Florida, Virginia Tech, and then some games to watch on Friday for Michigan and Big Ten fans out there. Illinois plays at 1:15. Ohio State plays at 3. Wisconsin plays at 7:10. Purdue plays at 7:25. And Rutgers plays at 9:20. And then game day for Michigan is Saturday. They'll play at 3 p.m. And then right before that one is the one that you'll want to keep an eye on too. LSU and St. Bonaventure, which would be Michigan's second round matchup if they get past the 16 seed in the first game. But it's 1:45 on Saturday as well, so right before Michigan. Then Maryland plays at 7, Iowa plays at 6:25. It's a packed schedule. So I think it looks like what's Michigan's first game is Texas Southern and Mount St. Mary's, correct? So so that is Thursday at 5:10. That's the first game. So a lot to watch. I'm sure most people will be tuned in pretty much all weekend long. But I agree. I think if Michigan gets to, you know, all you got to do is take this one game at a time, and I think one weekend at a time. You know, you just hope to get to the second weekend, because obviously half the teams don't make it. So Michigan with a one seed should be in the driver's seat for that, but it's going to be a tough game too if they can get past game one on Saturday. So either way, we will be watching, and we'll try and get out another podcast possibly on Sunday after their first game, in between their first and second games here. So it'll be fun. Well, I'm sure you'll see us all on Twitter. Myself, Mike, and Brandon all, you know, putting out some solid content for you. So follow along there. You can follow me at JustinRowe92, Mike at Michael Spath ITH, and then Brandon at BSB_Wolverine, as well as check out all his stuff at WolverineDigest.com, including our podcast. Now he has them up on that website there too. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you later this week.
This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.